Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of College Hockey Talk. On today's podcast, we are joined by a sophomore from the Minnesota women's hockey team, Skylar Vetter. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, Skylar, and how's everything going?
Everything's good. Thank you for having me. Just got back from camp, the goalie camp at the USA, so a little rest and recovery time for me right now.
Nice. Outside of the camp, how's your offseason been like so far, and do you have any plans this summer, whether it's hockey-related or not?
Yeah, so offseason's been good. I just finished up with finals about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So we've been done with school, but, you know, we've just had spring training, and it's nice. So I'm from Minnesota and I play here. So all of my goalie coaches and everywhere I trained is, you know, local. So I can pretty much train wherever, however much I want. So that's been really beneficial, just being able to be in Minnesota. And yeah, so I'm excited. Haven't had a great off season. Just got back from camp, so I definitely will be now taking a little bit more time off. So it's a lot of ice in a short amount of time. So especially goalie specifics, you get grinded up a little bit, but it's a lot of fun, and I'm just excited to roll into summer now.
What are some things you want to work on this summer for next year?
This summer, so at camp we talked to like so many like NHL coaches and other college coaches, which it's so beneficial that it's in May because they help you and they try to like make your game better. So, you know, I got so many like different, like tiny little like habit things to work on. So after camp in May, you kind of just take the whole summer to evaluate. Like I'm really working on holding my edges, kind of like trusting myself more. I have a lot of speed and power when I play, but the control part of my game is a little, I kind of get antsy and going to like continue to like go as fast as I can, but I really have to focus on like staying composed and just letting the puck come to me.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's starting to become more of the style that goalies have now, because I remember growing up watching goalies like Tim Thomas and he was super aggressive and you just never see that anymore.
Yeah, they're, you know, it's good to be aggressive and to be able to have those skills that like, if you need it for like a backdoor play or you get a random 2-on-0, like it's nice to be able to know that you can step up and, you know, make that split save or be really aggressive. But the biggest thing now too is the game has become like more sophisticated and they're, you know, angles and getting to your placements really fast and then gaining that aggression. Like that's more of the second thought, but yeah. Goalie evolves. I feel like there's a new style every 5 years. It's like completely different. So it's kind of fun to like watch in the NHL how it's like moves from really aggressive and all over the place to really like composed and like angles. And you know, 5 years from now, it's probably going to be something completely different. So it's a lot of fun to watch it evolve.
Who's one goalie you like to watch now that you try to model your game after?
Oh, there's a lot. I really like Carter Hart and the way he plays. He's only had a couple years in the NHL, so he's pretty young in that, but I definitely think that he is going to be amazing and one of the best in the NHL. I love modeling my game after him. He's Iowa Bryans, and he does too. So that's usually my first tell if I'm going to like him or not. Very loyal to the brand, and it's a lot of fun to watch him.
Are you a Jake Ottinger fan? Because I feel like you got to root for the American goalie. I think he's the only American goalie left in the postseason, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big fan of Audie. We actually played in the same program here at Lakeville North.
Oh, nice.
So he was at Lakeville North his freshman year before he went to NTDP. So it was a lot of fun. We've actually had a lot of really good goalies come through that program. Charlie Lindgren also graduated from North and played there. So I always love seeing Audie doing really well because I got to watch him in the state tournament growing up.
That's awesome. Has he gotten better since you last saw him in Minnesota, I presume? Like, has his game like evolved at all?
Oh yeah, he was fresh. He was young when he was here. And it was even just at camp, you know, they ask you where you're from and you're like, oh, I'm from Lakeville, Minnesota. And they're like, oh, like Jake Ottinger's from there. like he's just like kind of like the staple here in Lakeville right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember watching him with BU, and it's crazy to see how he's like now like one of the most well-known goalies that people – it was just crazy because I remember watching him, and no one knew who he was at BU really except for people in New England, and now he's like probably a household name in the NHL.
Yeah.
Well, I sort of want to start off talking about your career from the beginning and then work the way up to where you are now. So like you mentioned, you are from Lakeville, Minnesota. So talk about growing up there and how did you start playing hockey?
Yeah, so my parents are from Iowa, so they did not play hockey growing up. I moved up here to Lakeville, and I have two older sisters. So our neighbor got them into hockey because my parents didn't know anything, but it's like a huge thing here. So they're much older than me too. They're like 5 and 8 years older. So they started playing, and then I kind of just like followed in the footsteps. Like I feel like every younger sibling always starts off with the sports that their other older siblings play. So I got into that, played youth hockey here in Lakeville, and think it was like my second game ever. I think second grade, I was like, I hate the skater equipment. I like hate the helmet, hate the neck guard, don't want to wear it. But I still wanted to play hockey, so I just put on the goalie pads. At that age, you're supposed to rotate them through the team. But I think after that day, I was a goalie the rest of my career probably. So that was a lot of fun. And for me, I had a special experience. I actually played boys hockey from third grade until I graduated high school at Lakeville North with the same group of kids, which I think is extremely rare to have. Some of the best years of my career. Yeah. I would go back in a heartbeat if I could. It was amazing. It started off with just some summer hockey, being a sub for them. And then, you know, two summers later, they're like, you should play with us in the winter. And in fifth grade, that's what I decided to do. And I never looked back. It was so much fun.
Who's your favorite player growing up?
Oh gosh. I definitely would say my sister was. So she's 8 years older than me. Got to watch her play. She actually played one season of boys hockey too, which is kind of what kind of started me wanting to. But I was so little, always watching her play, and it was so much fun. I went to every single high school game I could. And she actually ended up going and playing at Penn State. So it was a lot of fun watching kind of her, you know, always like that older sister, you know, like someone I always looked up to growing up.
And like you mentioned before, college hockey, you played for high school at Lakeville North. Just talk about your high school hockey experience there, and like, what's the best memory you have when you look back on it now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my high school experience, because it was on the boys' side, is probably a lot different than a lot of other girls in Minnesota. Usually, like, if I was on the girls' side, I probably would have been playing high school varsity in seventh grade through my senior year. So since I did boys, they structure everything a little bit differently, where it's like, you go have to play Bantams. And like for me, Bantams was like 60 games, and I was the only goalie. So I played that eighth grade and my freshman year of high school. So a lot of games, a lot of good development. And then right into the high school program, played JV my sophomore year. We had a lot of goalies on the roster. A senior and a junior were on the varsity team. So for me, like I knew I was able to play, but in the boys' side, you kind of have to wait your turn. So that was a little bit hard for me. And then my junior year, I was up at varsity, got a few games in, had so much fun. And then I was so ready, so excited for my senior year. I was going to be playing like every single game with like the core group of kids I grew up with. And then COVID, which for me was like the most devastating thing, because I was so excited. I was so ready like to play. And we usually play like what, like 30 games. But then it was like, oh, in conference only, we're starting in January and ending at the same time. So still had like amazing memories. But for me, it was just so heartbreaking knowing that like that entire chapter for me was just cut short almost. Mm-hmm. Like I knew after then, like I wasn't going to play boys hockey again, especially like with that group of kids. So that was really hard to stomach going in. But it was hard too, because it was like only can show up to the rink 15 minutes before your game. And it's like, well, half of the fun is getting there early and playing sewer and like hanging out with everyone before the game and staying late and like going over things. But like even that being cut short, like COVID really was really tough, I would say, for me. But
how did you sort of get close to your teammates? Because obviously, I assume you weren't allowed to dress in the same locker room. At least that's how they do it here in Massachusetts. You got to get your own locker room. So how does that work?
Yeah, so for me, it was never really a big deal. I would just get ready literally in the hallway right outside. Like 90% of the time, I wouldn't have a chair. I wouldn't have a bench. I'd be, you know, just tying my skates, standing up. But so I was doing it since I was in third grade. So like some of my teammates didn't know any better. Like they'd go to like summer like tournaments of like random teams, and they're like, wait, there's a goalie getting dressed in here. Like, that's weird. So like for me, it was like I could go in before the games, not a big deal. And then after warmups, kind of like as soon as I like got pretty much all the way ready, like they would be like at least half dressed. So then I could just go in the locker room and hang out with them then. But I didn't know any better. I was like, this is just what we do here. And even my teammates were like that. So there was no issue whatsoever.
We'll talk a little bit more about the Minnesota high school hockey scene and just what's it like being a player in that scene, because obviously I'm from the East Coast, so it's a lot different here than it is in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And just talk about how different high school hockey is in Minnesota, because you get to play for your hometown team and get the chance to play Division I college hockey, where in most places you sort of have to move away from home in order to do that. And there's not a lot of like hometown pride in other places like there is in Minnesota. And obviously you guys sell out the XL Energy Center for a high school hockey game, which is pretty crazy. So just talk about how unique the high school hockey scene is there and what's it like playing in that.
It's amazing. It's something where it's like, especially like a lot of people have older siblings that like you see them do it. And like when you're so little, you're like, I want to do it. Like, oh my gosh, like this is what I want to do. It's what you strive for. Like for a lot of kids in Minnesota, since there's so many, like they don't play college. So like high school is it. Like, I think that's why it's such a big deal. Like you grow up, you know, in public school, like since kindergarten cheering for the same team. So it's just an unreal experience. Like, especially for me at North, like Lakeville North and Lakeville South, like biggest rivals, right? And you'd go to the games and it'd be like completely sold out, people wrapped around, people like on each other's shoulders trying to watch the game. And it's just a crazy atmosphere that like you can't replicate. Even college, like, because it's like in college, like you got fans from everywhere coming in to see you. But like when it's like Lakeville North versus Lakeville South, it's just Lakeville. Mm-hmm. And it's like everyone you grew up with, all your teachers, like every people who are older, younger than you. And it's like even the squirt games and like the peewee games, there's so many people because it's just like it's that rivalry. And, you know, many other schools have it. I'm sure you know what Edina is.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like everyone is a rival with like Edina and Minnetonka. But it's also so much fun to be able to like, for me, like I wasn't just playing with the same kids throughout my entire career, but I was also playing against the same kids. And so you build relationships growing up with the people you're playing against, which makes like the rivalry like so much better, because like you live like 10 minutes away from them. So like you'll be hanging out with them on the weekends, and then like next week you'll be like, you know, battling it out in a game. And it's just the connections you build. And the hockey world in Minnesota is so small, like everyone knows everyone. And sometimes that can be a bad thing, but like at the end of the day, like it's so fun to like have such a tight knit community. And, you know, like me, like going to like national camps and like even in college and hearing people and how like they grew up playing like AAA, tier one, like prep school, it's so different. And it's like, mm-hmm. I'm so happy I was like born and raised here and got to really experience that.
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh, I do like Edina, though. I know everyone hates on them, but I feel like they have a lot of good players, and I like the green mm-hmm. colors. I feel like people hate them because, you know, they're just so good, which I have to respect a little bit.
Yeah, it's just the history of it. Like, honestly, like, they always have good people come out of there, but it's just the history. Like, no one likes them.
Yeah,
it's just tradition at this point.
Now, is there any difference being a goalie in boys hockey versus girls hockey, or is it not really any difference at all?
It's a huge difference. That was probably one of my biggest adjustments going into college. Guys are naturally bigger, faster, stronger. That's just science. And like I said, I'm working on holding my edges and trusting myself, because I have that speed and I have that power because of my history playing boys hockey. But in the girls game, you got to be crisp and you got to be smooth. And the checking is a huge difference that people kind of just overlook. I feel like the reason why like boys and men's hockey, it's not just that like guys are naturally stronger. I think that the checking makes the game faster. So for girls, you have to, they have as much time as they want. They can put the puck wherever they want. They're not going to have to get worried about getting hit. So you really have to just like be patient, because you know that like if they shoot, they're going to like get it in a perfect little spot like 90% of the time. Where in the guys, like once you get to like college, they can do that too. But like growing up, it's fast. So you just kind of have to go. So the biggest thing for me was like slowing my game down. And that was a huge mental thing for me too. Like you wouldn't think like that seems physical, but for me, it's mental, because when you're going so fast, like you don't have to think. Where like now I'm like, okay, like I have to really watch and track, because like any small little movement, you're off completely. Mm-hmm. So I think that as a goalie, that was like the biggest thing for me, was just like being patient and like waiting for the puck and like tracking it all the way in. And it's more like controlling the game, where in boys hockey, it's making the save, like bringing confidence to your team. But I feel like in girls hockey, like the goalie has to control the game, because like they set the tone.
Yeah. Do you think body checking should be allowed to women's hockey? Because personally, I think it should. Because, like, I'll give you an example of someone on your team, Abby Murphy, I would think she would be 1,000 times a better player than she already is if checking was allowed in women's hockey, because that's sort of her game. And that's one of the reasons why she's, like, one of my favorite players to watch.
It's ridiculous how it's not. It needs to be. It'd make the game so much better, in my opinion. Yeah. There's a doctor at our school doing some studies on it right now. So I just did like some interviews. A lot of our girls and men's team did like opinions and why. And she kind of like was telling us like why there isn't checking. And she's just like, it's just an old rule that they've never fixed. Like originally they did it just so they could like grow the game and more girls would do it, like play hockey. But like now, like 90% of girls are like, yeah, like we want checking. We want to be just like the guys. We want the same sport. Cause it is a completely different sport if you think about it. And it would make the game so much faster. And I feel like more people would want to watch, honestly, which is like the biggest part about growing the game. But yes, we can have checking, but at the same time, you can't just throw checking in college right now because a lot of girls don't know how to check properly. So then lots of injuries would come up. And I think that's right now where the gray area is, where like boys, like you get taught checking when you're like 12, when you were like tiny, like you hit someone, no one's going to get hurt. Where like, especially girls in college, like if they're checking not with proper form or in the proper way, you're going to see so many shoulders and collarbones and checking from behind. Like it needs to be something implemented like at a young level and then be like, okay, checking in college hockey in 2030 so that those kids learn how to do it and grow into it. Because like there'd be so many injuries right now if they do it. So they have to strategically put it in.
So you don't think it's going to be allowed until you're done playing probably, right?
Gosh, yeah. I would say I feel like my college career, it probably will not be in, but I wouldn't be surprised. At the same time, I think, yeah, implement it in college at a certain age. But once you go professional, rules are off. You should know how to do everything. Yeah. So I think it should be implemented in professional hockey right away. But probably youth through at least high school would like to see through college. They should have a structured plan for it. But in professional hockey, like, because I plan on playing professional after I graduate, like, all bets are off. You're a professional. Like, you can learn how to check.
I get that. And plus, you're older and more mature, so, like, you're able to take those hits better than, like, if you're in college and still developing.
Yeah, like a freshman versus senior. Like, that's a huge difference. But, yeah, once you're professional, I feel like you're professional. Like, most girls already do that. Like, you see USA versus Canada games, like, they're very physical. People sneak checks in here and there. Like they know how to do it. They just don't want to get penalties. So it will be exciting to see what happens. I think some league in Sweden, I'm not sure exactly. Like I think they had it this season. So I'm really curious to see how it turned out for them.
Well, I do want to, from the research I've done, it seemed like the only women's hockey experience you had was you played in the two U18 World Championships where you won a gold and silver medal. So I guess I'll ask you about that. What was it like in the chance to represent your country at the highest stage?
It was great. I was very young when I first started with USA. I was 15, just turned 15 years old. So for me, it was just like I had no idea what was going on. It was kind of hard to just enjoy it because I was just there like, wait, what are we doing? Like kind of just showing up and trying to fit in. But it was so much fun and it's something that I strive to get back to every single day. It's like my biggest goal right now is just, you know, getting on that senior national team. Like I train, that's my ultimate goal. I want to go to the Olympics. I want to win the Olympics. I'll tell anyone that. That's something that is just like, that's my number one thing. And it has been since I was 10 years old, growing up watching Jesse Vetter. So me having the chance to like have that experience at 18s was just it was amazing. I loved it. Japan was great. Obviously, it was silver there. That was tough in overtime versus Canada. But I had a great experience there and then just brought motivation to Slovakia. And Slovakia was so much fun. We had such a close team and winning gold, especially in overtime. That was a long game, I will say it. I think there was like 3 minutes left in overtime when we won. So, but it was just absolutely amazing, like seeing Kiara. I know exactly the moment. Turnover at our blue line. And it was pretty much a 2-on-0 with Kiara and Maggie Nicholson because it's 3-on-3 international. So any turnovers, it's got to hold your breath a little bit. So I remember just seeing them go down, and I was like, this could be it, like kind of like leaning forward a little bit. And I think Maggie had the puck pretty much all the way down, and goalie bit and just slid it right back to Kiara, and she just tipped it in, and that was it. And it was just like, hits you and you're like, did that really just happen? And like me being like all the way down, I'm like exhausted, like I can't sprint down there, but I'm like, oh my gosh, like after this long of a game, like crazy. It was so much fun, so much fun.
Where do you keep the gold medal now?
It's just in my room, nothing special.
You gotta frame that.
No, I don't have it framed. I have a lot of my USA and like all my accolades, like especially like the USA stuff. Like when you go to tournaments, you get these knickknacks, and I have this bowl from Japan with like, they have all these little characters with like hockey jerseys, and I kind of just put my two medals in there, and there's like a bunch of pins and stuff. So, you know, I don't have it anywhere. Obviously those medals are great, but for me personally, they're a building experience.
All right.
So it's not my angle. Maybe one day when I retire, I'll put everything I have up in a case or something. But for me, it's on my desk. It's something for me to look at. Like it's here at home, so I don't see it every day. But at least in high school, every day I'd get ready in the morning and I'd just see the bowl of my two medals, being like, I want more.
Yeah.
Like it's just there. It's just like a reminder for me to be like, I'm not done. Like this is the first step. Like I want more. So it was kind of more of a motivation. It's not like it's not a decorative thing to show off. It's just an internal, like, it's not the Olympic gold medal. That's completely different. It's something that I'm so grateful for and love the experience, but it's more of a motivation that like, I want that feeling again and again and again. So for me, it's just kind of like a reminder every day.
Well, I don't think college hockey gives out medals, but you can put some rings in that bowl. I know they give those out. So that's where you gotta be focusing on right now, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we got a ring my freshman year for regular season, and last season we got the WCHA tournament championship ring. So this year it's going to be the national championship, so that's something to really strive for. And we were so close last year, and such a heartbreaker at the end of the day, but like everyone on my team is just like losing, especially to Wisconsin, like pretty much our biggest rival besides Ohio, like in overtime. Everyone's so ready to get back on the ice. That's something, especially in Minnesota, we haven't won in a long time, gotten close a lot of times, but haven't officially done it. So
when was the last time you guys won a championship?
Like 2016.
Oh, wow. I feel like it was much recenter than that.
They got second in 2019.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've gotten really close sometimes, and we've had lots of successful years. But like everyone on my team, like we know it's our time. We know that we're going to bring it home. We know we're ready. It's something that needs to happen. And everyone on my team, like we lost a lot of talent last year. And I think that's also fuel for everyone just to work so hard and just to get ready for it, because it's what we need right now.
I was still in middle school and in braces when Minnesota last won. So it's been a long time, but I do want to ask you about your recruiting process at Minnesota. Obviously you were playing boys hockey, so how did they like find you, and what made Minnesota the school for you versus other schools you might've looked at?
Yeah. So I did play boys hockey. I also did OS hockey with Winnie. She's a huge name in Minnesota, just in the summer, spring league, pickup games. She knew my older sister really well. So she played at the Gophers and is like very connected in the college hockey world and helps with recruiting. So at my age, the rules are so different now. Like it's completely different than when I grew up. I committed when I was 13 or 14.
Oh, wow.
I think it was 14. It's my freshman year of high school, whatever that is. And So Winnie, you know, you had to go through a middle person. You couldn't contact them directly and they couldn't contact you directly. So bounced things off through Winnie and another summer coach I had. And that's kind of how we got connected with Frost. And, Frost like reached out to me at first, like from Minnesota. He has boys playing hockey that were my age too. So, that's kind of how he heard of me and came to one of my games in eighth grade. And, after that started that following summer, all the recruiting process, I visited a lot of different schools. And I grew up not even wanting to come to the Gophers. I was always like, I'm going to go somewhere else. Like everyone else wants to go to the Gophers. Like, I don't want to do that. So for me, it was like kind of funny how like after visiting so many schools, I was like, yeah, I really like this place. I love the school. Like the campus is awesome. It's laid out exactly how I love it. And it's so hard. That program is so well known and the staff is absolutely amazing. Like our strength and conditioning coach is one of the best in the world. NHL and NFL teams always try to steal him from us, but I don't think he's leaving anytime soon. It's the place for me. It was awesome.
What other schools were you looking at? I want to disappoint some fans on this podcast. So
yeah, I was looking all over. I visited with Wisconsin, Ohio. I loved BU, which for everyone's like, wow, BU as a Minnesota kid. But I was like, yeah, like I love that school. That was a great school. I visited at Northeastern, Colgate. There's more too, but and then a lot of phone calls. But I really wanted to, for me, like I want to get a good education and I also want a chance to win. So I was very limited to who I really wanted to contact. Like I think it was only schools were who were either in the top 10 or close to the top 10, like at that time. So I tried to like hyper focus on it. Obviously I needed to look at big, small. I had no idea what type of campus I liked. You don't know until you step foot on campus. So there were a lot of schools, but I just love how Minnesota's like, you get the city and then there's the river and then there's the campus. And the campus is even broken up into like living, sports, education. So it's like separated even then. So as soon as I stepped foot, I was like, okay, yeah, I like this place a lot. Need to come here.
Now, your freshman year was pretty interesting because you split time with two other goalies. So talk about your freshman season, what you took away from that experience, even though you only played 9 games.
Yeah, so that was a tough year for me. Obviously, coming off of my senior high school year, only getting, I think, like 18 games, which is not that many for that season. And, you know, that we had a surplus of goalies because of COVID years. We had a COVID sixth year. So it was very tough for me. Nothing I've ever thought I'd go into college with. So definitely had to grow, definitely had to get that, really helped me with my mental strength and like having to figure out how to kind of deal with it. But splitting 3 goalies is a lot for college. Like you see it in the NHL all the time, but they also play 80 games. Where in college, you play maybe 35, sometimes 30. So it's 3 goalies is a lot. And even practices, it was like you don't get that many reps. So it was definitely like a learning experience for sure. And it just like made me like want to get so much better being like, I hate splitting. Like I was like, okay, like splitting time is not fun. Don't like it. So it kind of made me work harder in that off season to be like, I never want to do this again.
What was it like playing with Michaela, Olivia, and Lauren that season? Are they did you guys have a good dynamic even though the situation wasn't ideal?
No, we were all still very good, like close. Like it was nothing like that. Like obviously at the end of the day, whoever plays, it's a team sport. So yes, goaltending is so individual, but you still need to be like great teammates. And we all got along really well. And we all knew the situation. Like the situation was the same. We all knew it was going to be really weird. Like, and that's solely because of COVID. Like without COVID, we would not have that many goalies on the team. So it was definitely something like we all knew what was going on. We all got along. But at the same time, it was a little frustrating for all of us, I think. Just like the timing just didn't really match up.
Yeah. At what point this past season did you know that you were going to be the starter of the team?
Going into the season, I knew I wasn't going to let that happen to me again. And obviously, Frosty doesn't promise anyone anything. So going into the season, we started a split with Michaela and I and kind of made it my goal to take it over, like starting from day one. And, eventually it was really soon. It was like 2-3 weeks in I did. So it was just something I knew I needed to do for not just like me, but I also think my team. I love my team and they do so much for me that it was like, for me, it's like, I got to work 10 times harder for them too. Like goalie partners this year were great, but I need it. I'm so at the level where I want to go and I want to win. So for me, it was just improving every single day. And as soon as I got that opportunity for back-to-back games, I took it and I ran with it.
Now your team was one of the most highly ranked teams in the country, your freshman year and this year as well. How does your team sort of handle the pressure of being a ranked team? And what's it like sort of having a target on your back every single weekend? Because not a lot of teams get to experience that, like where every team, that's like their biggest game. They're going to try to give it to you. And sort of like, how do you handle the pressure and how do you maintain that consistency throughout the regular season with that pressure?
Yeah, well, when you come to the Gophers, you sign up for that target on your back. It's, you know, you had it since day one with women's hockey. Something that, like, if you come here, you have to love pressure and you have to be extremely competitive. And everyone on my team is. But having it week in and week out, it makes us better. It's like everyone's giving us their best. You know, sometimes some teams in other leagues and even our league, like, go to other places and they're like, oh, like, we're gonna win, like, it's whatever, right? And like, they don't play their best and they still win. But for us, like, every single team, every weekend, they come to us and they're like, we want to win, we have to play our best. Well, we are too, and that just like makes us better because like we get that competition day in and day out. So it's amazing, it's so much fun. I love pressure. I play better under pressure, I think, and I think a lot of my teammates do too. So it's something that coming here, knew I was going to get that, but it's what I wanted. It's what everyone's wanted.
Yeah, and talk about what it's like playing in the WCHA and just the competition you face every weekend, because you obviously have, I think it's the best conference in women's college hockey. You have probably some of the best players and teams that play in that conference. So you're going against like future Olympians and stuff like that. But it's also like, if you look at the Frozen Four the last like 5 years, it's three out of the four teams are always from the WCHA, it feels like.
100%. It's the best league in women's hockey as a whole. It's day in and day out the best competition. There's obviously great teams out east, but I think our conference as a whole is the best. And, you know, it's never going to happen. But I say if there was an opportunity for four teams to make it to the Frozen Four, there will be four teams from the WCHA making it in the Frozen Four. Like, even us, like, we played Duluth in our I don't even know what it, the game before Frozen Four. The regional. It was 1-0 with like 10 minutes left. So I strongly believe the NCAA is never going to do that. They're always going to match someone up so there's only three teams max in it. But if someone did it where a WCHA was on that different corner of the bracket, they would be there. It is day in and day out the best competition. It is so much fun to play in the WCHA. Like, that was one thing too with coming to Minnesota. Like, I love the schools out east, but it's like every single weekend here in this conference, you're getting the best hockey and it's the best development for, you know, your career down the road.
Who's the hardest shooter you've had to face, I guess, in your career? But it can't be from Minnesota though. That's the only caveat.
Sophie Jakes. There is no question besides that. Like, especially as a defenseman. And it's so much fun for me because it's like, just like me growing up, I'm like, yes, like, it's playing. I feel like even just playing teams like Ohio State and Wisconsin and Duluth, like, I can go back to the fast, quick, because like they're extremely talented teams. So that's so much fun for me. And especially they have this special play where she like kind of on the face off in my zone seeps down and they give it to her and she fires a 1T and it's like perfect. It's like, for me, it's like, I have that experience. So being able, like, having experience playing boys hockey, like, she's coming up to shoot. She has probably one of the best shots in the league. I'm like, I got it. Like, yeah. So much fun. But I would say my teammates also, like Taylor Heisey. I know I can't say she's the best, but her release is something I've never seen before. She can just, the way her wrist moves, like, it's hard to read. It's a really good shot.
Oh, yeah. I think she's been one of the best players in women's college hockey the last few years. Like, I think she has one of the best shots, like you mentioned. So when you're going against that in practice every day, like,
oh yeah,
when you face the best of the best, like you do against Ohio State and Wisconsin with those type of players, like, you're used to it, like doing it in practice all the time, where some goalies might not be, like, it's something they've never really seen before. So it sort of catches them off guard when they first see that type of shot.
Exactly. Yeah. It's something that I'm so fortunate too, to have that many talented players on my team that prepare me for the, you know, the games that coming weekend, and, you know, getting her, and then you get Abby Murphy coming in there and she is doing something new and creative every single practice. She's pulling out the Michigan in practice. I know she's going to pull it off before she graduates.
Oh yeah.
She's so much fun to like play against too. It's like, there's no one like her. She's like pulling these weird little like toe drags through her feet, and then she'll come in and she'll like fake you out and just tap at five hole, and you're like, you're so annoying. Like in practice, it's so frustrating, but she's so much fun. Even in like all the little stuff that she can pull is so much fun to be able to compete with.
Well, one of the things I like about your team is like you got like always those, obviously all those players are great, but they have something like they're super elite at, like you mentioned Taylor Heise, like she is a super elite shot. Abby Murphy, I feel like her skating is her best part of her game. Like she can like, I feel like she can skate around Ritter for like 5 hours and not get tired. Mm-hmm. And then obviously like someone like Grace Umwinkle, I think is just a good two-way player where she's good on the offensive zone and then in the defensive zone as well. And then you have players I don't think get enough credit, like Emily Oden, who I think is super versatile. She can win faceoffs, but then she can also be a defender as well, which I don't know how many players can say that. So I think that's sort of why I like your team a lot, is just sort of that versatility that you guys have.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like the best thing about our team is like we're all different. We all have slightly different skill sets that just fit together perfectly. And especially playing, you know, you get some teams where they're like they recruit the same type of player. We're like we have a little bit of everything. We have the speed, we have the strength, we have the physicality, we have the finesse. And like someone like Emily Oden, like, oh my gosh, she'd make jokes. She's like, oh, I'm coming for your spot next. I'm going to play goalie. Like she loved it. And she was just like the perfect person, like coming back as a fifth year. Like we didn't know what like anyone's career was going to be like as a fifth year. And we had injuries at D and the coaches asked her and she was like, 100% I'll play D. For her to be able to step up and to be like, I'll do whatever you need me to, is something that's just like, I, especially as a goalie, I'm so grateful for someone like that to step back. And she did such a great job at D, and I don't think she's ever played D before. So that was such a huge thing. She was always a defensive center. So they kind of like knew she could do it, but her being able to be like, yeah, I'll do it. No problem. No questions asked. Fantastic. She's great.
Well, we talk about sort of the big adjustments you had to make to college hockey, but what do you think was like the biggest improvement you made to your game this year, in your opinion?
I think it's something that people necessarily wouldn't think. For me, I was very proud of my ability to play back-to-back games. So I haven't played like a full season of hockey since my freshman year of high school. Like senior year COVID, year before, I was someone's backup goalie. Played JV and split time my sophomore year. So it was a lot at first playing back-to-back games. And it's like something you would never really realize is like that physically demanding until you do it. Especially against like Ohio State, Wisconsin, like Duluth, like it's a lot to do. So I was very proud of, you know, I know a lot in the first half of the year, my first game would be like amazing. And then my second game, it would be good, but it wouldn't be like to my standard. So I was just really proud of how the conditioning and the mental side of it, which is probably like over half of how difficult it is, kind of staying focused through six periods in that like short amount of time, how it just got better and better and better throughout the year goes by, which that comes with experience. So I was very happy. And then getting into playoffs, like I think our last game was like, it was like Wisconsin, Ohio, Duluth, Wisconsin. So it, especially like with those games and like that pattern of games, like being able for me to just like sit back and really work on like not just like physical conditioning but mental conditioning was something huge. And it's obviously something I'm not done working with, like that's going to be something I work on for the rest of my career. But I was so happy that it finally started to click halfway through the year.
Now your team got to play in Vegas during Thanksgiving. I want to ask you, how cool was that trip and what'd you take away from that experience?
Yeah, so Vegas for me was not too cool. I probably played my worst game that year or that weekend, but I took away a lot. Like, obviously, the experience in going to Vegas was so much fun, but it's also such a short amount of time. So you can't do that much there. We're there for, like, 3 days. But even with me, like, having probably my worst game of the season, I think I took away more out of that than I took out of an Ohio State game, because I took all of that and that feeling and all those mistakes and I went straight into training mode. Like, every goalie is going to have a bad game here and there, but for me, I was like, that's it. That's the last one. Like, I saw my goalie coach from back home and someone who I've been with since I was 10. So we worked through all of those little things. And so yes, the experience is cool, but I definitely do think it wasn't just the place. It was like the learning that took place in that tournament.
Did you do anything fun when you're down there? I know you're only there for 3 days, but I saw that you guys went to a Golden Knights game, so that looked like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I've always wanted to go to a Golden Knights game, too. So that was really fun. Like, we're only there for like 3-ish days. So there isn't much to do, but there is one day, like, we went to the Knights game with the whole team, and it is a show. It is nothing like you'd ever think an NHL game is. Like, they have a light show, and they have people skating around with, like, in Knights gears, and, like, they have, like, a fake mascot or whatever for the other team, and they're, like, battling, and it was a good game, too. It was a close one, and it was Talbot versus Thompson and Nett, and those are two goalies that I love watching. So I was, like, I hit the jackpot. Like, yeah. Didn't get to pick who got to play this weekend, but it was so much fun for me to watch, and it was a lot of fun going there.
Yeah, it's crazy how Vegas is, like, on their, like, fifth goalie now in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. They go through goalies. As soon as Fleury left, I feel like now they're, like, trying to find a new guy. But, yeah.
I think just they've had bad luck with injuries, though. Because, like, Brossoit, like, pulled a groin. And, like, once you knew he, like, couldn't move after that, I was like, yeah, that guy's not coming back for the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah. But they're, what is it, up 2-0 now?
Yeah.
So, good thing they're deep. They have enough. That's the thing in the NHL. You need to have multiple goalies that can win you a Stanley Cup. So they got it down.
Yeah, I know. I just think, I don't know, Dallas does have the goaltending edge, though, against them, obviously. So, and I think there's some games in the playoffs where you need your goalie to sort of win you one. And the question is, and when Vegas needs that type of game, are they able to get it? Obviously, they haven't needed it right now, but we'll see what happens. When you beat McDavid and Draisaitl, I feel like it's not really an issue, but you never know. I feel like it does pop up sometimes.
Yeah, there's always those 1-0, 2-1 games. I mean, like you said, like Audi, even against Minnesota, there were a couple games where he had shutouts and he, like, had two to win. So, yeah, you definitely need that, especially now that we're getting down to the finals.
Well, obviously the biggest highlight – one thing I do want to ask you before I get to this next question is, obviously you guys pulled up in some of the best pregame outfits when you were coming to Vegas, but I feel like the Nashville pregame outfits were better your freshman year. Which ones did you like better? I have to get a player's perspective on that.
Oh, I would probably say Nashville. I feel like that's a theme you can just roll with. I'm not big into my outfits before the game. I always say I could wear sweatpants to a game and I'd play the exact same. But I know a lot of the girls love dressing up. Cowboy boots, cowboy hats, like they'd wear like flare jeans, like they had so much fun. They were picking out their outfits in September, so I definitely think that there were some good ones in Vegas too, but I thought that they were really good in Nashville.
Well, in the non-hockey segment, we'll find out who has the best style from your perspective on the team, so get ready for that. But the biggest highlight of your season was obviously when you guys beat Ohio State to win the WCHA championship. Talk about that game and what it was like winning that trophy, because if I'm not mistaken, Ohio State beat you guys last year in that same spot. So how good did it feel to sort of get revenge against them?
So good. Always Ohio State, such a great, talented team. We battled with them. Like, what did we play them, 5 or 6 times? I don't know exactly, but every game was a battle, and it was so much fun. And I was actually really sick that weekend, to the point where I didn't know if I could play. I couldn't breathe. I had like wasn't COVID, but it was like upper respiratory, head cold. And so going into that game, I had no idea what was going to happen. I was like rubbing, you know, vapor rub all over me, trying to breathe. So honestly, that game is a blur to me. Don't remember a lot of it. All I remember is like the final couple seconds. Cause like even our 5th years, they've never won that championship before. The last time we won was 2018. So it was something where we're like, we want to hang a banner. We lost regular season to Ohio State by 2 points. And we let it slip just in the end of the year. We had it locked until like 2 weekends left. So for us, it was, yes, payback from last season, but also for regular season, cause everyone was so annoyed. So much fun. I just know our 5th years were like, never won this trophy before. And it's like, it's a big, it's the national championship before the national championship. It's like the prep for that one. That's why especially for us, it's so hard to win a national championship and anyone in our league, is because you play the same teams within a 2-week span and it is so hard to beat them twice. So it was just, yes, obviously the national championship is number one, you know, goal, but like getting that step in our team was just amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
Yeah.
So much joy was just brought to our team after that.
Did the winning feeling sort of cure your sickness a little bit? At least get you by through that rest of that day?
Oh gosh, a little bit. I still was like, I was on, took Advil, was downing Gatorade in between periods, eating food. There'd be in between periods, I'd literally be like laying back in my stall, taking a nap. I don't even know how I played, but you kind of go into autopilot. You kind of just like figure it out. But no, after we were done, everyone's like, you know, they're celebrating, they're running around, and I'm like, I am going to sit right here and I'm not going to move.
Yeah. You also don't want to get your rest of your team sick too.
Exactly. So I kind of was just like, have fun. I'll be over there hanging out. Like, that's about it. But it was just, I really do wish I could have enjoyed that part of the experience a little bit more. But like, as soon as I got in the locker room, I think I just like sat there for like 20 minutes. Like, I don't want to go to bed.
Yeah. Now you can say you had a flu game though, sort of like Michael Jordan. So that's at least that's the way I would look at it.
Yeah. I actually get sick a lot. I have the worst luck. I was sick in Slovakia during the gold medal game with something really similar. In high school, I was pretty sure I had COVID, but we didn't get tested really, which is controversial, I know, but didn't want our season to get shut down. And I have the worst luck with getting sick on my biggest game days. So I need to figure that out going down.
I would just say probably just don't be near people before those big games. Just like isolate yourself a little bit. At least that'll be my advice at least.
Yeah, quarantine for a few days before the next time we have a huge game. Yeah.
Now, you guys advanced the Frozen Four. You guys beat Minnesota Duluth in the regional game. Obviously, sort of similar circumstance to the WCHA championship game where Duluth beat you guys in the regional last year, so you guys didn't make it the Frozen Four. So you guys got revenge against them this year as well. Talk about what it meant to you, fifth years really, to advance the Frozen Four this past season and what that experience was like.
Yeah, it was such a heartbreaker last year, losing to them. One goal game, like, same thing with what we did with Ohio. So it's kind of funny how it was like back to back, just like that. More motivation. It was just something where like they're coming to our place. Like we're not going to let them get out of it this time. And especially with the Frozen Four being in Duluth, we knew that they were going to give it their all. Like going, being able to play in the Frozen Four in your home arena is a dream of everyone's. So it was something where it's like, we got to go. Like, we beat them. I think we swept them throughout the regular season. But with Duluth, you never know. They're a team where they can lose every single game, but the most important game, they'll beat you. So they're very sneaky in that way. So it was just, we had a lot of confidence going into it just because of the Ohio State thing that we just brought it through and we're like, they're not winning. Like, there was no question. They're like, we're going to walk out of here and we're going to go to the Frozen Four next week. That was the mentality that we had going into the game. And it was a very close game. I know we won 3-0, but it was a very close game through all of it. And it was so much fun. Like, it was, everyone was like ready to go. Mm-hmm. So it was a great experience with that.
Now, what was the Frozen Four experience like off the ice with the red carpet and all that stuff and just sort of the pop and circumstance of it?
Yeah, it was a great experience. You kind of, it's a good spotlight to have. Duluth is a great facility too. Like, their arena is awesome. I love Anzoil. So the media day, we got to go in there and a bunch of us and got to do interviews and pictures, and the rink was all decked out. Like, they redid the ice, and even the games, we got a lot of fans there too. So it was just an amazing experience. Excited for next year. Another sour taste in our mouth, Wisconsin, and we have a trend of turning that around the following year. So I'm really excited to see what we're going to do.
Well, I do want to ask about that game. Unfortunately, your season did come to an end, losing to Wisconsin in the national semifinal when Caroline Harvey scored that OT winner. I guess even though you lost, what did you take away from that game that you think is going to help your team out for next season?
Gotta say, that game was a little weird. We scored two quick ones, and that was it. Or we scored one quick one, and then one at, what was it, a minute left, 30 seconds left. So
yeah.
I definitely think going into next season, we got to play 60 minutes. I don't think we played, I think everyone would say we didn't play 60 minutes. We kind of like were there hanging in there doing well, but 1-0, like I know Wisconsin did to Ohio State, that's so rare to win a 1-0 game. So I think everyone's just ready. And I think we haven't been to the Frozen Four. No one on my team, I think the super seniors did 1 year, but other than that, no one did. So we were all new to the thing. So I think going into next year, we know the expectation now and we know what we need to do. It was a lot of learning. And again, so excited. I know we're going to face them in a playoff game again. Like there's no question about it. So I'm very excited to get payback again.
Oh yeah. Do you have to have like a goldfish memory about that as a goalie? When that puck goes in, you sort of need to just forget about it like after it happens.
Oh yeah. You can't think about it or else you'll give up another one. I've always been pretty good with like giving up a goal and being like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And just like playing. And then after the game is when I really analyze it. But as a goalie, like you can't think about it or else you get in your own head. So definitely something you just got to like forget it and just move on.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Caroline Harvey was probably one of the best shooters, in my opinion, last season. So at least someone like that scored on you. So,
yeah, if it had to happen, I'm happy with her. I've known KK, I did worlds with her growing up. So if I had to lose, I'm happy it was to the best defenseman in the WCHA, in my opinion. So
now, talk about just next season, what are your team's goals and expectations, and just your thoughts on women's college hockey right now. It feels to me like there's a lot of transfers going into Ohio State trying to get some revenge for their shortcomings last season. Obviously, Wisconsin is ready to win back another national championship, and I feel like you guys have arguably the best freshman class next season, so it's going to be a lot of fun. What's your thoughts on next season and what you hope to accomplish?
Yeah, so we lost a lot of talent, but as you said, we're bringing in a lot of talent. So it's not like we're behind at all. Yes, Ohio State can get as many transfers as they want, but I think the bond that we have and the common goal that we have, and most of us has been together, we've been together for years now, you can't replace that. You can't copy that. That's something that, yeah, everyone can have a goal of winning a national championship, but bringing in transfers like that, that many, like, it's not going to be the same. So I think our team, like, even day one of spring training, we all knew. Like, it's like we're all going to battle together. Like, I trust you, person next to me. Like, I'm winning for you. I've known you. I know your siblings. I know your family personally. We're bringing in transfers like that. You don't get that bond. And Wisconsin's going to be Wisconsin. They're talented every single year. Like, no question about it. They always have talent. But that's another thing, too, is I just think our team's ready to go. Even the ones coming in. We have a couple sisters, too. So, you know, it's not like they're all new. Like, sisters have been with the team for a while. They know the common goals. But I'm so excited to go in. And I just – Ohio State bringing in transfers, I'm like, we're going to be right there with you. Like, awesome. We're going to – be able to compete with you no matter what. You can take all the talent from Hockey East and the CHA, and for us, our team loves each other so much that even if you guys might have more pure talent, we're going to outwork you and we're going to beat you just on pure effort and compete. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, for sure. Have you had the chance to meet any of the, when do the freshmen show up, I guess? When is that, when you start to meet them?
So they come in early June, like officially to live on campus and take summer classes. But a handful of them had an official visit in the fall. So we got to like meet them and like they come to our apartment and hang out and come to games and stuff. So they've been around. And like I said, we have a couple sisters. So like you see the sisters and you get to know them through family and stuff. So very excited. Coming in soon. I know we have a girl from Hungary coming in who's very talented. But for her, I think international girls have to wait till fall, which is kind of sad. Love to have her in sooner, but
yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun with them.
So you've played with the Wethington sisters, the Zumwinkel sisters, and now the Lindsay sisters. So that's three pairs of siblings. I feel like that's never happened before for anybody.
And the Hemp sisters.
Oh, there! I didn't know that.
There's another one. Yeah. So Peyton's little sister's a defenseman. So she's also coming in as well. So we have a lot of sisters.
Yeah.
They're all great. So I'm very excited. It is different. So for me, I kind of get jealous a little bit watching because my sisters all played hockey, but they were so much older than me that I never got to play with them.
Yeah.
I only got to watch them. So it is really fun and kind of sad for me to like always see them and their sisters around. And, you know, it's something that I wish I could have done. But I was 8 years younger than my sister who played college hockey. So that was out of the question, but it's a lot of fun seeing their relationships throughout the 4 years.
Yeah. Is it funny seeing them like have like, obviously, you know them, obviously I know them as hockey players, but is it kind of funny to see them like as sisters sometimes, like the bickering that takes place or like when an older sister, like say something to the younger one or whatever.
Yeah. It's funny. Like the Wethingtons, like they live together too. So we hear so many stories and like, they complain about each other all the time and they like argue with each other, but everyone, like almost everyone on the team has a sister. So we all just like laugh about it. Cause we know like, it's just, it's over like small stuff too. Like, oh, like you're wearing my shoes. Like,
yeah.
So it's kind of fun. And like for like, for me, like my sister, like she lives out in Boston and my other sister's back home. So it's like kind of fun to see. It like just reminds you of your own family too.
Oh yeah. Well, we're now in a segment I like to call the non-hockey segment, where I ask you some non-hockey questions just to get to know you a little bit more off the ice. First one is, what music do you like to listen to?
I listen to anything. I'm not picky, which is really weird. I can do anything. Honestly, I sometimes when I go into the gym on my own, like at the rink, I will always forget to put music on and I just go right into the workout and our trainers think I am like psycho because of it.
I don't think you're psycho. I don't want to ruin my headphones because I get sweaty too easily. So yeah. I feel the same way.
Yeah. I just kind of just like, well, we play it through the loudspeakers too.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm just like, oh, I forgot. Cause I'm just always kind of like, it's not like going through the motions, but like, I don't think about anything. Like when I work out or play, I kind of just like focus on what I'm doing. So I just like, honestly, they play music in the locker room and I like couldn't tell you what they play. I'm kind of just like, whatever. So I've never been picky. I'll listen to anything. My mood changes from here to there. I usually only listen to music when I'm driving somewhere. So
yeah.
Nothing too crazy.
So you're not one of those goalies that has to listen to like hype music before a game, but I know some goalies listen to classical. They want to calm themselves down before a game. So I don't know which one are you.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll listen to nothing. Like, I think it's part of it is growing up playing boys hockey. Like, I never got the music in the locker room before the games. So it's another thing. That's just how I grew up. That's how I was raised in silence. But yeah, no, I do know a lot of goalies. Some do pump up, some do classical. And it is funny to hear. And like, I think it also, like, the way goalies play correlates to what they do and stuff like that off the ice. So it is kind of funny to hear what other people do.
Now, what is your like biggest goalie quirk? I know every goalie has one. Is it like the Linus Ullmark when he does the smelling salts before the game? Is it what Devin Levi does when he like meditates in between commercial breaks? I'm curious what your sort of thing is, or is it just nothing at all?
I feel like I do a lot of things that like people just don't notice. Like, like Levi, like he takes like, what is it, like a knee on the ice? Like that's so noticeable.
Meditates.
Yeah, he like literally like just.
I remember first time seeing it, I was like, what is he doing? This makes no sense.
Yeah. But I have my own kind of like, it's probably like his reset to games. I have my own little things. Like during the national anthem, I track every single line on the flag and I'll track the flag all the way around, all the way back, mid game. If I need a mental reset or if I accidentally look at the scoreboard, I will look down at the outline of my crease and kind of track back and forth. So I feel like I do a lot of little things that like a person watching wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Nothing like Devin Levi.
Yeah.
And turning around completely and just sitting there. So
he takes the mask off and everything. Oh, at least I think he did it for one game if I remember that. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Now, what's your most embarrassing hockey moment?
It's a good one. I don't know if I have a distinct moment, but that's I remember good. During COVID, this is kind of one, but it's also like acceptable. I would say we had to wear masks while we played through Minnesota State High School League. And my mask, I couldn't see like down the puck here. And I remember I gave up a goal in my first game trying to play the puck. And I was like, wait, I can't see it.
Yeah.
So I cut holes And I was like, I'm wearing a mask. My nose, my mouth is covered, but it went down to like here. It was like my nose is covered and it went down here and it went up. So it looked ridiculous. And I have pictures of it. And it looked so bad. So that was probably like embarrassing just to have to like wear that through COVID. But if I didn't, I'm like, if I'm going to cover a puck, I can't see it. I'm going to give up more gold. So I was like, I'm cutting holes in my mask. Like if I can see the puck, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So looked a little weird though.
You got to compromise a little bit. So I get that. Yeah. Now let's ask you some questions with some of your teammates. Who's the funniest on the team?
Chris Lynn. She graduated, but I'm still going to count her. She is the funniest person. Like you wouldn't realize it until you start talking to her and you're like, oh my gosh, like the stuff she does, like just even the facial expressions she makes, like everyone in the locker room just starts dying. Like she's awesome.
Now let's get to the question. I'll even answer this myself, but who has the best pregame outfit style on the Minnesota women's hockey team?
Who do you think it is?
I think it's a tie between Emily Oden and Madison Kaiser. I think they both do a good job sort of like being subtle about it, but also like sticking out at the same time, if that makes sense. I really like their outfits a lot.
I would agree. Those two are very good. But for me, it would have to be Olivia King.
Okay.
Like everything she wears, not even to the game, just like on a day-to-day basis, you're like taking mental notes in your head. Like that looks good together. I think that she is the best dressed. And then she'll also like come into pregame skate or on a random day wearing sweatpants. So she's like really relatable in that sense where she has great outfits, but then she'll also have days where she's just like, I'm just coming to the rink.
If it makes you feel better, I think you have the best on ice style on the team because I always like the goalie stuff. And I think your mask is pretty cool. I don't know how they, you get that. I don't know how you design it like in college.
Yeah.
Do they just give one to you?
So no, you get to design it, but actually my freshman year, I was so behind on ordering my gear that like I kind of slapped that thing together. So you what you do is you like draw on this little template, like kind of what you want and send it to the person who does your mask and they'll like put it up on a computer and send it to you. So I was like, first try, I was like, just do this. Like, I don't care what it looks like. So I did slap it together, but I am very excited. I'm getting a new helmet this year.
Nice.
And I've actually took the time to sit down and think out my process. And I'm dating the goalie on the men's team. He's also like, we both sit down together and it's so fun to be able to like talk through, like, what are you going to do there? Okay. That's a good idea. Like what NHL goalies helmets do you like? Okay. That's a good idea. And like, I think we spent like 3 hours just like sketching our masks. And so I do have a rough draft and I need to contact my guy now, but I'm so excited. This year is going to be like completely different.
That's cool.
And I'm really
any
excited.
Cool like quirks. Like I know some people put the USA hockey logo on the back just to like sort of nod to like their prior hockey experience or something like that.
Yeah, so I am planning on, so your back plate, you get personal. So everything else has to be school related in the front, and then your back plate, it has to be approved by the school, but you can put personal logos and stuff. So I'm going to put my high school logo kind of like in the corner. And then I am going to put, so I go, this is what I'm planning right now, not official, but there's this place on campus, Tony's Diner, that I go to in season like 3 times a week. Like that's where we eat breakfast before games. So I'm gonna like figure out how to put that on there just so it's like,
that's pretty cool.
He comes in, he gives us food, and I'm just like, nope, love that place, best food on campus. So I'm gonna try to figure out how to put that on there too.
Are you trying to have a better design than your boyfriend, I assume? Like, is there a competition?
Gosh, 100%, because mine this year I was like, threw that one together freshman year, and now it's like I absolutely love Jack LaFontaine. When he was here, his helmets were so like detailed, and like you couldn't notice some stuff until you were either close up or like the light hit it and it reflected. So I'm thinking of going with the same guy who painted his, because I'm like, I want detail. I want like little things. Like, I'm so excited. I'm just like, my helmet's gonna be so cool this year. It's gonna be so much fun.
Obviously, I'm biased, but I thought Darian Hansen from UConn had a cool one because he would put basketball players on the back. So obviously at UConn, it's a big basketball school. So he had Kemba Walker and Maya Moore like on the back plate. And I just thought that was pretty cool. And he would always do that for every team he played for. So I always thought that was a nice little touch.
Yeah, I never noticed that. I just know Laffer did like sketches of like the All-Americans and like Herb Brooks, where it's like so detailed. Where like I was like, that's really cool. So I definitely like that touch though, where it's kind of like putting that school's type of thing on your helmet is really cool. I never saw that. I'd have to look at it.
Well, one more non-hockey question is, what's the most interesting thing you've read or seen this week?
This week, kind of been checked out online just because I was at camp. But I have started the Hunger Games prequel book, and I've been reading that one. I'm not a reader at all. I don't remember the last time I read a book. So for me to actually sit down and read a book, I'm like, this is good.
Yeah.
It's been out for so long, but they just put out their first trailer for the movie, and it's coming out in November, and I'm like, I gotta read it now. So about a third of the way through it, then I'm like, yeah, I love the Hunger Games, big fan, read the books in high school, which again for me was huge because I hate to read books. So yeah, definitely that book. Yeah. I don't even know the name of it, but it's the prequel to the Hunger Games.
Yeah, I think for me, I was just reading about Matthew Tkachuk. I just think he's a super interesting player. And if I were a kid, he would probably be one of my favorite players just because I love his game and how intense he is. And just like, I think he's a funny guy. So I was just reading about him and like how he got started. And like, I just thought he was pretty interesting. And then obviously, since this is a Minnesota podcast, Logan Cooley coming back for his sophomore year.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
We've known. So it's
they've been trying to keep under wraps for a while. So
yeah,
I think
same with the fifth years. Like,
yeah,
that's like where it's like funny is like, it's like, yeah, it's news. But for me, I was like, oh, I knew about like 2 months ago, like yeah, that they were coming back. But it's fun to see everybody like freak out about it. Like, oh my gosh, like our team's going to be very good next year.
So yeah, well, hopefully they're going to try to get some revenge like your team will in the Frozen Four, because that was a very fun game to watch for me as a neutral fan. But obviously for your team, I know that wasn't probably the best experience. So,
so close. Yeah, they only lost Matthew Nyes and
yeah.
Is that it now? They've only lost
Matthew Nyes. I don't know. Is Close coming back?
Yeah.
All right. So
yeah, that's crazy with their whole team. That's awesome. Yeah, no, they're going to be – it'll be very fun to watch.
Especially since the Frozen Four is in St. Paul this year, so.
Yeah, that's going to be great. It's St. Paul this year for boys, and it's Ritter the next year for girls.
Oh, nice. So
I'm very excited for that.
Where is it this year for girls?
New Hampshire. So, that's and cool. The last time it was in New Hampshire, we won. So
hasn't been the East Coast for a while, too. So mm-hmm. That's I'm excited for that.
Just hoping that history repeats itself there a little bit.
Maybe. It'll be interesting to see. But yeah. I guess before we end this interview, do you have like any shout outs you want to give to anybody? And who should we have on the podcast next?
Wow, that's a good question. I think international players like Josefin on my team and Nelly. I think like you're from the East Coast, so you probably get girls from the East Coast and like their experiences, and now like you've done Minnesota too, where I think getting some of those international players, I don't know if you've done those yet, but I think that would be really cool because it is again completely different in how they kind of grow up. So I would definitely say like Josefin and Nelly.
Nice.
Would be really good ones.
All right, I'll definitely reach out and see what's up. But I know I took a lot of your time today, Skylar, but thank you so much for doing this for me. I appreciate it. And I wish you and your team nothing but the best for next season. I know you guys are going to definitely compete for a national championship, and I'm looking forward to seeing the new faces on your team and how they sort of gel with some of the returning players. And yeah, best of luck. And I know you do great individually and also team-wise as well. So yeah, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
No problem. It was a lot of fun.